in front of you. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy your consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. This Lenten series, we are talking about putting away childish things. What it is that really means, the transition that Christ is calling us to really love, which is really what that chapter in 1 Corinthians 13 is saying. The functional reality of the end of that chapter is everything that we have is in our way. We are partial people. We know partially, we see partially, we can prophesy partially. Our knowledge is partial, however great it is, and the partial must come to an end if the complete is going to come. And he looks at this and he uses this analogy to say, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I acted like a child. When I became a man, when I decided I was going to be grown up, I had to put away childish ways. I had to change the way I think, the way I look, the way I understand. And the functional reality for each one of us, this process of sanctification, this is the hard work. And we Americans, we aren't always so keen on hard work. We're rich people. No matter where you are in this world, no matter how much you have or little you have, compared to everybody else in this world, as an American, you're rich. You have options. And the problem with having options is you can always say no. Growing old is mandatory. Growing up is optional. Listen to the word of the Lord as we start in on this series. This is from Matthew 16, beginning at verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what he has done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. So, Lord Jesus, teach us to love. Strengthen us in that love, that, Lord Jesus Christ, we may be transformed into the people you made us to be. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, God our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the earliest times, from our first breath, we are born isolated. The reality of the way that you understand reality is it is a figment, literally, of your own imagination. What you're looking at right now
happened 30 seconds ago. It's all old. Most of what you see is actually made up by your brain because it hasn't had time to process everything that's actually going on around you, and it's making assumptions about what things are and what they look like, especially on the periphery of your vision. So actually, most of what you're looking at from about here out is totally fictitious. Something could be over there that doesn't fit into your understanding of the world, and you will not see it. You will not let it be there because your brain can't see it. Each one of us is born alone in the dark, encased in a concrete shell. And everything that we understand about the world comes through these little portals, ears, eyes. And our brain makes up what we think it is. Each one of us is stuck literally in our own head from the moment we're born. And what that means for every one of us is we think that what we're supposed to do is take information in and then figure out how to do something with it inside. So I see you do something, I take it in my head and then try and figure out how to do it myself, and then I do it. We learn to imitate, right? It's why we play at tea parties when we're 2 and 3 and 4. It's why boys play with trucks and other things. It's why we do what we do. What we're doing is we're trying to imitate what we've seen other people doing so that we learn how to do it ourselves. But functionally, the reality of our life is always the same, right? Just like the three I walked with it through, the first words that I remember each one of them saying would be, "Own self, do it. Get out of my way, I got this. Let me show you what I can do." Because we want to believe that when we do these things and we figure out how to do them, that is actually what opens up the possibility for us for love. I'm loved because I can do things for people. I'm loved because I do them well. And every one of those lessons is one large lope towards hell. Because love is not about what I can do. Love is not a reward for action. Love is a call out of self. Because it comes out of God's own self. When we were 3 years old, we thought we earned our parents' love by doing things right. When you were a parent, you knew whether they did it right or wrong, you loved them. A piece of your soul went out to them. I remember that first time in my life when the thunder came and the rock rolled away and one part of you is dead and this magnificent, amazing mystery is right in front of you. When they put Ruth in my arms and I carried her down the hall to be weighed. She couldn't do anything. She didn't need to do anything. She had a part of my soul before she could speak. And no matter what happens, she has that. No matter what she does or how she feels, that's the reality of it. The problem for us is we don't manage as adults to ever change the behavior patterns we learned when we were 3. If you want to look at that writ large, the whole culture of celebrity that exists in the United States is a perfect picture of emotionally immature love, right? First, you're the star, you're perfect. You're wonderful. You're everything I'm not. Everything that I want to be, I project on you. And then you turn out to be cruddy because you break that ideal image. Well, then you're nothing. Throw you away. Do away with you. Tear you to pieces. On to the next one. And what it functionally is, what that life functionally is, brothers and sisters, is a life that is lived inside that egoistic three-year-old world. Where we're still sitting in there thinking we're alone, and what love is something to make us feel better in the dungeon. The struggle for every one of us to create honest and true and real loving relationships is to learn to walk outside of yourself. Matthew has this graphic picture of it. Jesus is telling his disciples, this is God's will. This is the path that I'm going to walk. I am going to be insulted. I'm going to be tortured. I am going to be helpless. And then I'm going to be executed. And Peter, living inside his three-year-old world, where Jesus is his hero, his idealized, wonderful guy, he looks at Jesus and says, that's not what my hero does. That's not the way this story goes. That can't be right. Because inside my understanding of you, Jesus, you're going to just go whack, whack, and they're all going to go away. Because you're the master of the world. You are the spoken word of God. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. Remember, he said that before this. You are the Messiah of God. You have all of this power. And what that means is if I was you and I was doing what you were doing, I'd just go whack, whack, and they'd be gone. You've got to be wrong, Jesus. That can't be what you're supposed to do because it does not fit in my understanding of who you are. And what does Jesus say to Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan. Every satanic, violent, awful evil perpetrated by human beings is perpetrated out of selfish egoism. The pornography industry that thrives on men's egoistic love of self and destroys people, destroys lives that none of the men care about particularly because it doesn't matter to them, right? Because they aren't people. They're just there to make me feel better about me. The reality of the way we disrespect people, sisters of the tongue, because we're unhappy with ourselves or we're unhappy with our own condition or we're unhappy with what's around us, and the easiest thing to do is what? Kick the dog. Take it out on whoever's around you. I'm unhappy. You're going to be unhappy. I feel disrespected. You're going to be disrespected. I'll set you up on a pedestal you can't possibly stand on. And when you fall off, I will make fun of you to the end of time. And it feels good because I'm working out my frustrations. And that's all I think I'm doing, right? That's all we're doing when we're gossiping. It's all we're doing when we're talking negative about other people. We're working out our own frustrations about things. But what are we actually doing? We're destroying people. Every satanic thing that human beings do thrives on our egoism. Do this because it feels good for you. Don't worry about whether it has any effect on anybody else. Who cares? I just need to, for me. The classic American statement of these generations, I need some me time. Because Lord knows inside this concrete, I don't have enough me time. All those people who managed to get inside my head, but nobody's in there. It's all my imagination. It is all my work, and I am alone there. To really love requires the work of stepping out of one's own head. I think one of the great gifts of parenthood is it is a forced ejection out of your head. There's a piece of your head and your heart that is always outside of you now. And it is frustrating as all get out because you want it to stop. Or you want it to resolve in 30 minutes with commercials. Or you want it to just tone down. But it won't do that. Because the other person is loud, and that's where they are. Because the other person is struggling, and that's where they are. And a piece of your heart is with them, and so you just get exhausted. You're running around with them. The greatest effort and strength of pastoral ministry is to run around with 400 people who have a piece of your heart. It can get exhausting at times. And then the struggle comes that one of them needs a special piece of your heart, comes to the door, rings the bell, and you're 5 minutes slow. Because for them, the whole world is whatever it is they're going through. They're stuck in that egoistic place where what they need is what they have to have. And if you aren't able to give it to them, then God doesn't exist, Jesus doesn't exist, the church is a crock, and everybody doesn't care. And what happens? Violence. Satan lives on your egoism. He lives and thrives on the idea that you are alone. And the real power of love, the real protection of love, is to get outside your head. If there's somebody who gets under your skin, walk in their shoes. Get outside your head and walk in their shoes. Put yourself in their position. Don't sympathize. Sympathy is the work of the devil. Sympathy is Satan's greatest tool because it is good. Aw, poor Deshaun. I feel so sorry for you. And then I get to say, see, I felt compassion for you. But it didn't do you any good, did it? And actually, I may have no idea where you are. But I feel good about me because I kind of reached out to you. Sympathy is Satan's greatest tool. Because we will think, because it's good, that means I've done something good. Compassion is the mark of love, not sympathy. And compassion is the ability to look at a person and be able to say, I know enough of what's going on in your life to know how hard it was to get here, to get dressed and get here today. I know how hard it is to sit here alone. And compassion tells me there's not much I can do about it. Sympathy always wants to make things better, right? Poor you, have a cookie. Poor you, take this. Poor you, let me fix this for you. Compassion ultimately stands in helplessness and says, you're hurting and there's nothing I can do to fix it. I can't make it better. All I can tell you is, as you're hurting, I'm hurting. I hurt with you and I understand why your heart is broken. And I am far enough out of my own head and out of my own soul that I'm actually connected to you. And I will stay there even though it's hard and it hurts. Do you love like that? That's the love that Jesus has for you. That's why on the cross he knew your name. It is why he loved his own to the end. And it is why that is so important in the statement of Jesus' crucifixion. It is the most important statement that any one of the apostles makes. Having loved his own, Jesus loved them to the end, John says. He never stopped being connected to them. Even when he is in pain on a cross, in pain in ways that they cannot even imagine pain, he sees them and he sees their pain. The power of that love is the power that the Holy Spirit is calling you and me to live in. That's the love of God. If anyone wants to be my follower, the first thing. Anybody? Deny themselves. Why is that the first thing? Satan's greatest tool. Amen. Thank you. Somebody did the math. Oh, buddy. Yay. Hey, this is cool. The first thing you're going to have to do is fight your egoism. You have to deny that you are the center of the universe. You have to deny that you understand how things get done. You have to deny that what you see with your ears, or hear with your ears and see with your eyes, is actual reality. You have to understand that there is a reality you don't see, that you don't hear, that comes to you by revelation from God, and that is the truth. And if your eyes and your ears conflict with that, you put your eyes and your ears aside and say, that's what's true. Because that love is greater than any human love. That love, loving everyone to the end, from the cross, not able to breathe, still seeing your mother and the disciple. Not able to speak more than three words at a time, and still seeing the pain and anguish of the people in front of you. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. Because that love never ends. As for tongues, they will cease. As for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for knowledge, it will come to end. We prophesy in part, we know in part. When the complete comes, the partial comes to an end. Do you know how to love? If you're in pain today, you're in school. The pain is not the problem. The pain is the lesson. Is it teaching you? And the one thing it's not teaching you to do is retreat into your concrete bunker and sit there and go, la, 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 make the pain go away, Jesus, la, 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 la. Do you reach out through it? Are you the most important thing in your life? Are you the arbiter of what's true and what's not? If you are, Jesus is not Lord. You may sympathize with him. Poor Jesus, hanging on a cross. That's really nasty for you. So sorry about that. Let me serve on a committee and make things better for you. But that's not love. Love requires us to get out of ourselves, to lose our life in the life that is eternal, knowing that when we lose our life for his sake, we will really find it. Anyone who has ever risen in newness of life rose to a life they didn't understand. I remember 5 years ago, conversations I had with someone who had walked through the same, had walked through a crucifixion like the one I was walking through. And she would look at me and she said to me, there was a year between walking on the beach and not knowing what was going to happen to me, and my life was over. And a year later, I was walking on the beach planning my wedding. And it sounded crazy. And it sounded impossible. And it sounded nice, but it happened to other people. And one breadcrumb at a time, it happened to me. Anybody who can tell you that they arrived at a place of new birth because they did seven nice, effective habits of seven good people, or they have the path that gives them the steps, or whatever those things are, the reality of it is all a mystery. Because none of us knows where we're going. None of us sees what God is after. You do not understand what God wants your life to be. So which will you do? God forbid it, Lord. This can never happen to you. That's just got to be wrong. Or will you deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him? It's always a choice. And don't believe, brothers and sisters, just because you're a mother or a father, that you don't have a choice. You still have a choice. There are many mothers and fathers who inflict violence on their children because they will not love them. Love is always a choice. What do you choose? The one thing I'll give you as a last piece of advice, the one thing I've always figured out so far anyway, it's the only thing that I think actually works. If there's a hard way and an easy way, Jesus is generally in the hard way. If there's a hard way to do something and an easy way to do something, Jesus is almost 99.99% in the hard way. I've learned to just take the hard way and go. Because I'm going to have to double back and go there anyway. Take the hard way. Because that's where the reward is. That's the way that's narrow and that's difficult, and it leads to life. Let's pray. Lord, I don't know what you're after. I don't know where you're taking me. I don't know what you want. I do not understand your grace. I do not understand gospel. I know good news when I hear it, but I can't explain it. Bless and strengthen each one of us, Lord, to just take the difficult way of loving, to get out of our own heads, to get out of the space where we're trying to imitate you as you do something, and just walk behind you, not because we understand what we're doing, not because we look graceful doing it, whether we look graceful or not, whether we can do it easily or not. Bless us, Lord, just to follow you, that, Lord, we may find in your arms, in the blessing of your love, the fullness of our life returned to us as we give it away to you. Bless us and strengthen us in that love that conquers all things, even death. In Jesus' name, amen. Every one of us struggles. You may just be struggling with resentments right now. You may be struggling with helplessness. You may be struggling with somebody who did you wrong, and they're just in your head when you stop and pray. Come to Jesus and let him have whatever it is. There is no shame in moving. I know the back of the congregation is a much more comfortable place to sit than the front, but there's no shame in moving. It's 30 feet down the aisle. If this is time for you to join this church, this is the place you can do that. What is Jesus asking you to do? Whatever it is, however crazy it may seem to you, however vulnerable you may feel in doing it, do it. You will be amazed at what happens when you take that breadcrumb and move. Come to Jesus. The elders are here for prayer for you as we stand and sing. Thank you.
spirit for you.
See, when we throw our whole weight on you, when we come running out of this concrete shell, that you will never fail to meet us. You picked up your skirts and you ran across eternity to reach us. You moved heaven and earth from the beginning of time. You knew our name. You knew who you wanted us to be. You knew who you made us to be. Bless us, Lord, to run to you, to trust in you, to give our lives into your hands, so that, Lord Jesus, we truly understand what it is to be loved as well as to love. And that, Lord, we can get out of this dungeon of self. We can break the satanic hold on this violence-filled, lonely world. And we can be the antidote to the disease. Bless us, Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in that love that conquers all things, even death. And bless us, Lord, to become brothers and sisters in unity, in reality, to walk one with another in the garden, in the cool of the day, naked and unashamed, to be who you made us to be, that this world may see what a human being really looks like. Make us whole, that this world may be made whole. In Jesus' name, amen. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God puts you there.